This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
He says, if you, Joel 2:32, anyone that calls on me for deliverance, I will in no ways turn you away. Now, that in Joel 2:32, that is a promise from God to deliver you from these spirits and all these things if you want to be delivered. Now, if you enjoy your sin, then church needs to come to talk to you, need to turn you over to the devil and turn you over so that your soul will be destroyed. Your body will be destroyed so your soul will be saved in the day of judgment, because nobody wants to go to hell. But I have a simpler way to get it done. The best way is to go through deliverance. Turn yourself over. First of all, you got to find you a church that people knows how to deliver people. And there's many churches that have deliverance ministries. They know and understand devils and demons and how they work. So you find a church or a person that understands these demons. You go to the Lord. I'll give you an example of a young man that came to me. Well, I say a young man. He was up in years. He'd been smoking 25 years, so he's 45 or 50 years old. And he hated smoking, but he could not prevent himself from smoking. He'd just take one out and put it in his mouth, and he hated it, but he did it anyway. One day, he came through a Bible study class I was teaching, and when he walked by, I told him, I said, sir, you smell like a nicotine factory. I said, you know you're destroying your temple. He said, Thurman, I know it. I have tried everything known to man, and I can't stop smoking. I just can't stop. So I don't know what to do. I said, I know what to do. I said, do you want to be free? He said, of course I want to be free. I don't want to ever smoke again. I said, okay. Then all you need to do is tell the Father in the name of Jesus, you're sorry for your smoking. You don't want to do that no more. And so he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to smoke anymore. I said, now then, you need to call the King in remembrance of Joel 2:32. He said, what does that say? I said, get your Bible and open and read it. He went and got his Bible and opened up, and he saw there that the Lord says he promises he will turn no one away. Anyone that comes to him for deliverance, he will in no wise turn you away. He will deliver you. I said, now that you've repented, see, you had to repent first. And once you repented, then you can drive out the demon. So he repented. I commanded the demons to leave, the demon of nicotine, to leave his flesh. The demon immediately left. The Lord Jesus Christ delivered him, purified him. And from that day forth, that's been many years ago, at least 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. And that man, as far as I know, I saw his wife just the other day, and I asked her how he was doing. He was doing fairly well. And he's still not smoking. He was completely delivered, and he has never smoked a cigarette since that day. But I've seen people the same way. I might say when it's sexual sin. I had a young man probably in his early 30s. He had raped several young women. And he was fixing to go to jail for this. And I met him and sat down and talked with him. And first of all, I found out he was not a Christian. And he was living in these sexual sins. And so I told him, I said, this sexual sin is a demon. And this beast is killing you. So what I want to do to you, now instead of judging him and turning him over to the devil, this man was not saved. So I need to get him saved. So I rebuked that spirit. I got this young man saved, led him to Christ. And after I got him saved, I told him, I said, now I'm going to go through a deliverance with you. I'm going to cast this demon of hell out of you since you're a born again Christian. I said, you don't want to keep living like this, do you? He said, absolutely not. I don't want to do this. He said, when I do it, I hate myself for doing what I'm doing. Well, see, it was a demon that was controlling his life. Now, then, when he got saved, we commanded those demons to leave him, and his body got set free from those demons. And that man was set free. And that's been at least, I guess, 10 years ago, at least 8 or 10 years ago. And every time I see that man, he tells me, Thurman, whatever you do, don't you ever stop doing what you're doing. He said, you changed my life forever. He said, when you cast those demons out of me, I got set free. I have had no desire to have sex with a young woman since that day. He said, I just didn't understand what was driving me to do those kind of things. But as a lost person, he had no control over the devil. The devil, the demons which lived in him, had control over him, and they drove him to rape these young women. And so he had no control. But you have no power over the devil when you're living in the devil's world. But when you get saved, all power is given to you over the devil. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, and you don't have to yield to the devil anymore. But it's a choice. When the devil comes to you, you can still yield to him. And if you do, then the devil will move into your flesh, and he will begin to kill and destroy your flesh. And that sin, whatever it is, will begin to bring forth death. Now then, whenever he says that you're not supposed to even associate with these people, he said, I'm talking about church members. Now, if you get church members and you sit down and talk with them and you tell them about these things and they don't want to be delivered, they don't want to stop sinning, they're not willing to go through deliverance after you've done everything you know to do, all these people that are in the church that are living in sin, if you are to absolutely turn them over to the enemy, turn them over to the devil for destruction of the flesh. And then he says, don't even eat with such a person. In other words, don't invite them to your house. Don't go out to dinner with them after church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or whatever. Or don't go over and have a meal with them if you know they're Christians and they're still living in their sin. Or say that a man and a woman is living together. They come to church. Both of them comes to church. And they invite you over for dinner. Okay, you've never talked to them about this. Now then, it is your responsibility as a son or a daughter of God, if you're going to go over to their house and you're going to sit down with them, you're going to talk to them, you are absolutely to tell them what they're doing is wrong and that they have to stop living together. And if they will hear you, and if they will repent, God will forgive them. Now then, if they won't, and they say, no, you're just old-style Christianity, that's not what we believe. We believe that God's merciful and he understands and he will not judge us. Well, let me tell you, after you tell them the truth of God's word, that they are to stop sinning if they don't sin, then you are to never sit down and have another meal with them. You are not to go back to their house until they repent and turn from their wicked ways. Now then, can you still talk to them? Sure you can. You can talk to them. You can call them on the phone. You can tell them what they're doing wrong. But don't become friends with them and talk to them without sharing the power of the Word of God with them. Because if you stay friends with them and you continue to meet with them and go places with them, Paul says you are going to become a partaker of their sin. Now then, Paul goes on here in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your job to judge those inside the church who are sinning in these ways. Now, these are the sins that he's talking about. All of the things that he talked about, they're greedy, swindlers, sexually immoral, idol worshipers, abusers, drunkards, and swindlers. These are people. He said, it isn't my responsibility to judge the outsiders. In other words, the people that are not born-again believers, that's the one you are to judge not. You're not to judge them. Just forget them. You know, God will judge those. You don't have to worry about that. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your job or your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning in these ways. God will judge those on the outside. But as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. You must remove that person. Now then, if you are to remove that person from among you. How do you go about this? Have you ever seen this done in church? Most people have not. Now, some of you there are going to say, I've seen it done. Our church does it. Well, if your church does this, then more than likely your church is a pretty spiritual church. Because if you rid evil from among the church, you will develop a church that's very powerful spiritually, a church that's walking in obedience to God's word. And if you have a pastor that'll teach that sexual immorality is wrong, drunkenness is wrong, abusing is wrong, greedy, swindlers, all these things that Paul listed there is all wrong, and we're supposed to purify ourselves from all evil and walk holy and perfect before God and be conformed into the image of Christ, then you'll have a church that'll be a powerful church. In fact, I was just listening, or actually I wasn't listening, I was reading in a magazine, a Christian magazine, about a church in this nation that, and I used to watch them on television. This church used to be 12,000 strong. Now, it's a huge church in a very large city in America. And I used to think, wow, what a great man of God they've got here. And he was a great man of God. He was a spiritual man. He was a man that was led by the Holy Spirit. But as he grew older, I mean, of course, he had children and grandchildren. And of course, it was such a huge church. Almost the entire family was involved in the ministry of this church. And I understand that because, you know, my ministry is a small ministry, but I have to have several people helping me now. But this man, his ministry was so huge with 12,000 people. Everybody in his church, in his family was involved in the ministry. Well, here just a few years ago, one of the, I believe it was a grandson. I don't think it was his son, but I think it was the son's son, a grandson, that began to get involved with sexual immorality with some of the young women in the church. Now, that's very easy to do. That church, in just a few years of sexual immorality and the situation not being dealt with properly, that church has gone from 12,000 to less than 1,000 people. It's actually a mere few hundred, like 300 or 400 is all that's left in that church. What did Paul say would happen if we don't cast out the sexually immoral? It will affect the whole bunch. See, the word of God is true. It's better to deal with the situation than to let it go on. Because there is a church that had 12,000 people that did not deal, obviously, properly with the situation. And they now are destroyed and a few hundred. So whenever you look at these things in God's word, sometimes it seems a little harsh. But remember, if God said it in his word, there's only one way to do it. And that is we must do everything exactly like the word of God says, God's way.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.